heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
I think one of the biggest lessons of this has to be too much time is spent on beating each other up than on shit that really matters. And I always think of that in those terms that, you know, you think about the energy that's expended in all of that through political leaders and just leaders in general. The time and the effort and the energy they spend going after each other. You know, when you see the political powers come together and all they do is fight. And you're seeing that now with stimulus bills going through and everybody wants to take credit for it. You know, you see Pelosi up there taking credit. She wants to bow like, you know, like she's a savior somehow. And she removed the dirty Republicans or actually put it back in, the money that they tried to strip out, she says. And, you know, and the Republicans, of course, say, well, she was putting all these pet projects in there. And it's just the point of this is that you see these leaders or supposed leaders on the camera. And I wonder how they're so successful that they can lie with a straight face. I mean, how many Americans really pick up on that, the lying that goes on with these leaders? They sit there and they tell you one thing, and you know, and even as they're talking, you can see they start to squirm and their body language gets uncomfortable. And you know they're lying. They know they're lying. Everybody knows they're lying, but they put it out there anyways. And I often wonder why they're not held accountable, why we aren't holding those people accountable for these dirty deeds, things that they're saying. And as I pointed out the other day, when you see how egregious this whole thing was with the stimulus bill trying to get it through, for the American public and how unprepared we are. I mean, we're unprepared, you know, financially as a country because of the debt load that's going to be put on the country right now. I mean, there's a price to pay for all this in the years to come. You know, thankfully, the economy was at a high point. Thankfully, President Trump had done an outstanding job with the economy and people were feeling good about that. Now, imagine if we were in a real severe recession and this pandemic hit. And then we had to take the sort of, steps that we're taking now. I'll tell you what, we would have fallen right into a depression more than likely. And who's to say we won't get there yet? Hard to say. It's hard to say what the market's going to do. There's so many unpredictables out there right now. And still we're in the midst of this pandemic anyways. You know, I think always in the terms of mankind and people that come together and why we always need a crisis. Why do people need a crisis to be able to figure things out? It seems like we take so much for granted, friends, in the world and certainly in this country. We take so much for granted. Imagine if that time was spent on preparation, plans, you know, doing things that need to be done for the people, for humanity, for the greater good of humanity and for the people. And yet, you know, right now there's a blame Trump game going on. We'll talk about that today as well. It's interesting. And you know, why wasn't he prepared? Why wasn't the president more prepared? Why wasn't he planned? It's his fault, you know, it's his fault. Clearly, you know, the buck always stops at the president's desk, right? I mean, that's pretty normal in American politics. So if anything goes wrong on a national scale, you blame the president, typically. Even when it's Congress at times, it's funny, even when it comes to matters of the purse and Congress and the spending and the debts, you still blame the president. The president takes the heat no matter what. As they always say, the buck stops there, right at that desk. You know, and yet, you know, so this blame game has already started on Trump, you know, the blame Trump deal here. is preparation. So preparation for the respirators, the medical equipment, the viruses. Why didn't they see the pandemic coming? People have reported on this. I mean, people have said over the last many years that we're going to get into a worldwide pandemic here. It's happened before on the scale of a 1918 thing. And you know, there have been other cases where these epidemics have arisen that could have become pandemics, but at the time we were blessed and they did not. You know, there are so many of them, you know, SARS and MERS and AIDS and, you know, Ebola. And there's a list of these over the last 100 years. I mean, you have to go back 100 years to 1918 to the Spanish flu and see, you know, that that was a worldwide pandemic that killed, I mean, I think the number was over 50 million. I mean, this was a massive, massive pandemic on the planet. We were clearly ill-prepared then, and we're probably ill-prepared now. But the whole blame Trump game is really gets me laughing, or should get you crying, actually. It's pretty sad, you know. You know, when you think of the monstrous job of being president, and it's easy to say, okay, well, why weren't we more prepared here? Why weren't we in preparation to have the right equipment, the right treatments, really the right financial means even, you know, to prepare for a pandemic like this? Because this is, you know, you may think this is out of a horror movie of some sort, but this is going to happen again. I've been talking to you in past years about things like, you know, our electrical grid, our water supply, and you think about earthquakes, asteroids, you know, terrorism, all kinds of possibilities. Are we prepared for those as well? Because I have to tell you right now that with this going on right now, our enemies, our adversaries, and those people that want to do harm to America are paying close attention. This virus has done what terrorist groups have not been able to do thus far. This virus has done what other countries and our enemies have not been able to do thus far. It has brought America to its knees. It's brought the world to its knees. That's where we find ourselves, isn't it? You know, one of our commentators and contributors on the platform at America Out Loud, Del Wilber, he's a counterterrorism analyst, former CIA, he says, you better believe that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and their proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah, and many other extremist groups, are taking notes on what havoc has been wreaked as a result of this pandemic. I can assure you that extremist groups have their scientists hard at work looking for a way to replicate an even more lethal virus or other form of this kind of a weapon, as well as a targeted delivery system aimed right at the United States and the West. I think that's pretty believable at this point. I believe that. I think you probably believe it as well. So, and I've been thinking about that. You know, our enemies are definitely watching this because, you know, it looks like a war scene in cities and towns where people are just, I mean, there's, in some cases, there's no human life you can see with the naked eye. It really comes out of a novel right now that you're seeing from sea to shining sea. And so that is a scenario you can probably imagine. And you know full well our enemies are doing exactly what Dell puts out there. They're definitely paying attention. They're definitely watching what's going on. And they are definitely in their labs hard at work. And that really comes back to the cornerstone of our program here, the fight of good versus evil. That really, I mean, this conversation today encapsulates this, people, the fight of good versus evil. So how do we be prepared? We have to be prepared as the good, as people. We have to be prepared as a people against all of this evil. And you know, the reality is this. We have to be prepared 100% of the time. The enemy and those people who want to do harm to us, they don't have to be prepared and successful 100% of the time. They only have to be successful or prepared 1% of the time. Those are some pretty striking odds, people. Well, that kind of puts it in perspective, though, doesn't it? It puts it in perspective of this fight of good versus evil, as far as I can see. And I started this whole program off with you guys talking about the fight of good versus evil. You know? I gave you that quote, you remember, from Alexia de Tocqueville. America is good. But if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. You recall, America's great. But if we cease to be good, our greatness goes away. So you start thinking about all of this and these people who, and all the possibilities that can attack America, because all of these things I'm speaking to you today about can wreak havoc on this nation and bring this, our way of life, down to a standstill. I mean, what we're seeing right now should be a rude awakening for all. You know, it was mentioned the other day with a tweet that was put out by Dinesh D'Souza on a previous show you might have heard, that if you like what you're experiencing right now, if you like this feel, if you like what's happening right now in the nation, this would really be a form of socialism, what you're seeing right now, where you're at the mercy of the government. You know, as the clowns up there and the buffoons play with themselves and make themselves feel and sound important, right? That's what they do well up there. We feel important. We look important. We get on the camera and we have the body squirms and all of that. And we lie like hell to you, but we're important. And we have your life on a thread, whether you like it or not, as they've done to, you know, the entire country. Over 300 million Americans have been held hostage by these people playing ping pong politics, or ping pong pandemic politics up in Pukey, Washington, D.C., right? And that really is a form of socialism in thinking about it in those terms. And Dinesh was spot on. He's right. If you like this, by golly, you're going to love socialism. That's a beautiful, this has got to be a wake-up call and a rallying call to all Americans to turn the channel off when it comes to this socialism conversation. You know, and you see this whole squad and AOC crowd and all of these, you know, puppets and the Democrat, the Democrat Socialist Party of America. And you really can't use the word Democrat anymore without adding the word socialist to it. So I've completely renamed the party. You've noticed that, I'm sure, over time. I've done it some time ago. Actually, it's not a new thing. But they are the Socialist Democrat Party of America. Now, that is really their name. It's got to be their name. It's the way I affectionately refer to them as, right? Because that's what they are. It's who they are. I mean, you know, you look at those debate stages from left to right, doesn't matter who you pick there. It all goes and heads towards socialism. It all goes where government is running your life. You know, that all that free healthcare, education, all that stuff they're promising you, you remember, yeah? And all of that is that you're at the mercy of the government because you really are their bitch, you see? And so that's kind of where all that falls. And that's kind of what we're looking at right now with this whole pandemic. It's exactly where we're at. So I think we've got to remind our fellow American, you know, the people in your neighborhoods and on your street corners, we have to remind them that look around your neighborhoods right now, look around your cities and towns, from sea to shining sea. And if you like this America right now, you are going to love socialism. Going to love it. Going to love it. Amerizuela, here we come. Right? So, you know, maybe that's a wake-up call for folks. It darn well should be. Should be for all of us. Yeah. So back to all those enemies we're talking about here and those people that want to do us harm in the fight of good versus evil. And so the odds are really scary when you look at the fact we have to be right 100% of the time. And they only have to be right one time. And boom, we're hit. We got it. And these people are working overtime. It's not just in the labs, as Dell points out, but they're working on a lot of things. They're working at cyber warfare. They're looking at attacking our electrical grids and our water supplies and our food supplies. And they're looking at doing all kinds of things. You know, recently the president created the Space Force. That becomes sort of a Star Wars, fiction sort of event that you see up there. It seems like a movie you might have seen, huh? But you know, that's what's going to happen, is future wars and future battles, and they're going to be fought from the skies. And all, you know, remember, everything's controlled by satellite today. And everything's controlled by really digital, by the internet. And that's why we become at the mercy of the internet gods. I mean, we really are at the mercy of the internet gods. And I worry about that. I worry about it a lot. Because it only takes a few clicks, bing, 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 you know, click, 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 and we can pull down a whole bunch of stuff they can pull down. And again, and then the same thing will happen, like it's happening with the pandemic right now. They'll be doing, you know, they'll be doing a battle assessment, if you will. But that's what they'll be doing, is assessing everything. Well, how did that happen? You have to do an assessment here of how the damage control, I guess would be a better word to say, damage control. Why is it we wait for shit to happen like that? And then we react. We become a very reactionary society. We're never proactive. Of course, all of this today I'm talking to you about is really and truly about being proactive. And so then you wonder, you start to connect the dots and you say, well, why aren't we being proactive, Malcolm? Why aren't we? Well, and why is it that Trump wasn't more prepared? What the hell is it with that president number 45? What the hell's he been doing up there, man? All right, so he's got a good economy. But why wasn't he prepared for the pandemic? Well, those are all good questions, people. But in a nutshell, the evil people here and the evil politicians have spent the last 3.5 years sucking up all the oxygen in the room. And they've been going after Trump, left, right, hook, line, sinker. They've thrown him everything they can possibly throw him. The man doesn't have a waking moment. I'm sure he doesn't wake up. He probably wakes up throughout the night. But in the morning, every morning, his feet hit the ground. And I'm sure he wonders, what the hell is going on? What kind of battle am I going to hit today? What am I going to be hit with? What sort of a lawsuit? What sort of a problem? As I try to do what I'm trying to do, what he thinks is best for the American people. And you can't really discredit that with this president. You kind of have to know that he really is trying to do his best for the American people. I don't know many of you haters out there and never Trumpers, you don't really think so, but I don't see how you can't get to that same conclusion when you look at the facts and the data and the results. And again, you don't have to like his whatever, the way he is or his past or whatever you don't like about the man. And I'm not going to get into that whole conversation today. You know, you just keep beating a dead horse here, and it's dead already. That conversation is done and over with here. Let's move on. Let's get on with it. But you see, so they've thrown everything at this president they can throw at him for all from the moment one of his administration. And so when all that time is spent fighting all these evils, if every day you had nothing but people at your doorstep and on your phone and in your emails and just badgering you people, and just lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, and guilty as charged. And let me say this to you. If they brought up things you did, dirty deeds you did years ago, how many of you out there have done dirty deeds? Things you're not proud of, things you're not happy about, things you know you need to pray for forgiveness to be able to get into heaven. How many of you people have done those kinds of things, I wonder? Grabbed people by the body parts or done other things? Whatever the hell your problems are. Because ain't one of you that is a saint. There ain't one of you listening that's a saint. So how many of you have done those kinds of things, I wonder? You probably won't admit it. No, none of us human beings want to admit our faults, our fails, you know. We don't want to admit that any more than Donald Trump wants to admit it. But you see, that's the standard we hold certain people to, or certain politicians to. And then we wonder, well, why aren't the good people running for president? Do you want me to answer that for you? Exactly. Probably not. And then you wonder, where does this Donald Trump come from? But it should not be lost on any of us of what this man has faced. Like him, love him, leave him, whatever. You know, again, I haven't said to you before, if you haven't heard me, I don't eat the Donald Trump cornflakes, as some of you do in the morning. I don't eat them. Don't like them. Don't. That's not what I eat. American cornflakes is what I eat, because I don't really eat cornflakes anyways. But if I'm going to have them, it's American. I love the country. Whoever can get us to a pot, to, you know, that beautiful shiny city on a hill and American patriotism, sign me up. That's the if a Democrat can do that in the way that I envision what this country is, then I would vote absolutely for that Democrat in a hot second. See, I don't play partisan politics either, or extremist politics. So to me, Donald Trump is a means to an end. That's so I don't eat the Trump cornflakes like many of you do out there. You think, oh, the guy can't do any good, you know, harm. He walks out. That's not it. That's not what this conversation is about. He's a human being. He's a man. And like all of you out there, he's had his faults as well as you all have as well. And every one of those Hollywood celebrities, by the way, has theirs as well. They just will never admit it. Not in a million years will they admit it, right? And yet, you know, they all have their closets full of dirty deeds they've done, some more than others, but they have them. They absolutely have them. Some of the things, some of you folks listening right now, if you go back into your memory of your closet memory yourself and think of some of the dirty deeds you've done in your life, and you think, oh my God, I'm embarrassed for that. Wow, I would never want people to know that about me. I would never want to put that out. God, they would think a lot less of me. Oh, no kidding, right? I mean, the point of this is that human beings as a whole, I mean, we're a failed group. We're a failed species, people. There's no perfect human being. It's not out there. It doesn't happen. It's not on the planet. That's why I can confidently say that. There's not a listener listening who's perfect. There's nobody else I know, and there's nobody else you know, and there's nobody else on the planet that's perfect. It does not exist. It's funny how human beings were designed, really, you know, and being able to make our own choices and, you know, our decisions, and then, you know, confessing to those decisions. But I digress. I better digress quickly before I get into the confession box, huh? So, you know, so back to those people who say, where the hell has Trump been? And what this whole pandemic thing, I want to tell you to shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Because you're so perfect in your world that you just want to, you know, continue to go after the president, who I have to believe is doing his damnedest right now. I have to believe that. When you see his spirit and you see his body language and you see, I think the man loves humanity, quite frankly, as much as I love humanity, probably as much as you love humanity out there. You know, many of you love humanity. I know you do. I mean, people that listen to my show are good people. We don't get a lot of socialist, communists, or evil people in here, as I've told you many times. Those are not the ones that say, oh, let me turn into Malcolm today. I want to hear the good word. Yeah, really. Yeah, it's the middle group we need, I told you. The independents, the moderates, the left of center. Those are the people I want to invite in, and I want to just want to be blessed with those people. Those are the people that are going to help us win back America. 100%. 100%. We don't need the extremists. We're not going to get the extremists. We're not going to get the evil. We're not going to get the far left. We're not going to get the socialists. These people have another global agenda. It's not our agenda, but it's their agenda, you know? And so this whole thing now about Trump, I think, should not be lost on anybody, okay? So as they continue to point and find fault with the president, you know, again, and anybody who does that, if I hear Pelosi, you know she's out there saying these things, and they're trying to find every, because they're in an election year, people. Of course, the thing is with this group, they don't need an election year to act like a bunch of assholes. They've been doing it from day one, so they don't need that. So let's be clear on that point as well. This has been their story all the way through. But it is an election year. But by golly, it seems like every year with this president has been as bad as the last one, and feels like everyone is an election. And I guess it is in a kind of weird sort of way, because they've been trying to, you know, push the president out of office in every systematical way they can. And now the latest thing is, of course, going to be the pandemic of choice, the crisis of choice. it's always something that comes up as to why the president failed. Why didn't he see this? Why didn't he prepare the fool? Why didn't he get more respirators ordered? Why didn't he have a vaccine ready? I mean, come on, what the hell are you doing, Trump? The deal is, the more we tear the leader apart, the more we allow people and all these lawsuits and this nastiness and this fight and this internal struggle that's going on in America, the more we do that, friends, the more challenging we make it for the man at the top. And the less preparation he can do to get this country ready for wartime. You know, he says we're in a war right now. He's exactly right. We are in a war right now. But there are a lot of wars, other wars out there too, headed our way in the future. I don't know what that future is, days, weeks, months, or years, but there are a lot of people, as Wilbur was saying just a bit ago, the CIA gentleman I was telling you about, that they're working in their labs now to try to bring down America. They're working in cyberspace to try to bring down America. They're working in a whole lot of areas, people, to try to bring down America. And so if they're going to have to be right, you know, just one time, and they can do damage to us, then we've got a hell of a battle here in front of us. I mean, just look at the odds of that. So now you've got to suggest to yourself, well, why don't we get ourselves together? And that's something we need to really understand. This is an important message we're talking about right now. Now you see the entertainment, the political entertainment that they're all doing, that seems to be funny at the time, how everybody pokes at everybody and, you know, they try to one-up each other on a regular basis. And you wonder, well, it's just all entertainment. It's polytainment, I call it, of course, you know, polytainment. Polytainment is it's a big thing today. People are very entertained by their polytainment. The 24/7 polytainment on cable news. You can turn it on and be totally entertained any moment of the day. That's become, it's a circus. It's an absolute circus as one just tries to one-up the next. And then you really start to look at this thing, people, and do the math, and you say, what the hell are we doing? What are we doing? We are killing ourselves here. This isn't what God had in plan for humanity. This is not what God envisioned for the human race. This certainly isn't what he had in mind for America. Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
So there was an interesting article in Business Insider about Bill Gates and the fact that he had warned of the global health threat for years. And I've seen a whole host of reports on this. In fact, the Insider story goes on to say, here are 11 people who seemingly predicted the coronavirus pandemic. And I've read reports of this well before this virus started. In fact, I've told you all about it before. Now, again, if you look historically, pandemics have happened before on the planet. We've had problems with these things prior. And we've seen a host of things happen even over the last, 100 years, even though we haven't had the big pandemic. There have been epidemics and healthcare alarms, crises, diseases, problems, viruses that have gotten the world's attention. We didn't know, you know, what kind of havoc they were going to wreak on the human race. Why aren't we putting our attention on these things as a people? Why don't we come together as a people in sincerity and fight these things together? And if you look at those odds I point out that we have to be right 100% of the time and they only have to be right once, and then you have to wonder, those odds are not good. And then on top of that, if we're beating each other up on the level of what we're doing, and that's not to take anything, it's not even taking into consideration, people, that we could have a massive earthquake hit the West Coast here tomorrow. And that would put us in a whole nother dire straits, wouldn't it? You know, or we could, there could be an asteroid slip through and hit, and maybe it's not the end of things, but it could do some damage. That's not a hypothesis I'm putting out there. Like, that's some fairy tale of some sort. I mean, it happens. You ever hear the story of the dinosaurs? Sounds like a fairy tale, huh? And so, you know, think of that. And then, and you think of a lot of other things too. You know, a lot of these other things, like I said, a cyber attack on the level of the electrical grid. I mean, and I've read some classified information and reports that they are working very hard at trying to bring our grid down. And so then you wonder, are people being real careful? Are they on top of it? And then a terror attack. Another, it won't be a 9/11 kind of thing, but it'll be another kind of attack. There are plenty of ways, also using chemical weapons. Now, I've been talking to you for some time now about the potential of chemical weapons, actually. Dirty bombs, things like that, that can be easily unleashed on the public. They can get here in a million different ways, people. I mean, they're already doing around the world. You know, they put a backpack on their back with a bomb in there, and they go to a cafe or a movie theater or whatever, and they blow themselves up. I mean, that's just pretty common today. Now, what happens if there's, you know, chemical weapons in there? Dirty bomb goes off, something else is dropped from the sky, or some other way, some other means it gets in here. And a whole city, town, or a whole region or area of the country goes down. Are we prepared for that kind of an attack? We're not. And after that happens as well, there'll be another sort of pandemic happening of that magnitude. And there'll be a task force again, and we'll be asking ourselves, why didn't we look at those warnings? Why didn't we heed those warnings? Why didn't we do better? Why didn't we prepare accordingly? Don't imagine why. Because we're too busy beating the hell out of each other. You know, that's what it is. You know, even a simple, you think about, again, the amount of enemies we have out there, even a cruise ship. You know, I've often thought, and I will share with you reluctantly, because my thoughts go here a lot, that you're on a cruise ship, you're sort of a sit-in target. I hate to tell you if you're a love cruising of sorts, but you are a sit-in target. You think in the means that you've got 3, 4, 5,000 people on a, I mean, that's some numbers. That's more than a 9/11 group of people sitting on a cruise ship out in the middle of where? An ocean, a gulf, a body of water somewhere. What do you think it would take to take that cruise ship down and out? Exactly. Not much. Wouldn't take much at all. Especially when you look at the level and the amount of people. So then you say, well, how are we protecting our cruise ships? I don't know of any way we're protecting them right now. I think they're probably sitting ducks out there on the high seas, probably, around the world, around the globe, everywhere. Well, that industry is a tough, and they're going through hell right now because nobody wants to be on a cruise right now with a bunch of people that have the coronavirus. You see all those ships being held up and all that happening, so... So, you know, you get the picture of what I'm talking about there. That's another problem. So all these things are problems, whether it's a massive earthquake, an asteroid, and I don't need you to leave the program and say, oh my God, it's doom and gloom. No, but listen, these are things we need to prepare for, just as much as a pandemic, just as much as a virus that's been unleashed, a biochemical weapon or bioterror weapon or something that's been unleashed on the public. It's the same thing. It's our preparation. And then how much are the political leaders and the powers to be, are they ready to fight this, to handle this, to do the task force? And, you know, you start to wonder, people, and you think, you know, what's the purpose of all this? At least I do. I look at what's the purpose of life? I mean, is it just to go through life trying to fight out all the evil? I really think in those terms a lot. I guess I'm wired that way about this fight of good versus evil. There's something in me that's been in me for a very long time, from a young boy forward, that tells me my mission in life, my godly mission in life, is that, or my orders from God are to bring a word of hope and good and optimism to people, but it is to fight the fight of good and fight the evil out there in the world. That's how I look at my mission in all of this. My rallying call is to get as many people to understand that message and to also join us for this battle forward. And again, that 100-to-1 worries me with the fight of good versus evil. Now, listen, at the end of the day, having said all that, if you have faith and you believe in God, then you have to know that God has to have our back, right? And I know this is not necessarily a religious talk I'm having with you, but faith plays into everything, people. Every part of our life, faith has to weave into something. We have to believe in something. You have to believe in a higher force. You've got to believe in God Almighty. And there's no other way this exists or this runs. You know, the whole factory of Earth and the factory of the human race is done if there's no God. So then you have to think, well, God has to have our back, right? And we're supposed to fight the good fight, right? And we're not supposed to give up, right? And so maybe that's a little bit of comfort in that 100-to-1 scenario I played out for you. But then it still comes back to choice. You know, we're all wired to have our own choice. We make a conscious choice. It's our decision. We don't have, you know, in your consciousness, you know, God doesn't make every decision for you any more than Satan does. You have personal choice. And that's, what is your choice? What are you? Are you part of good? Are you part of evil? Are we making the right choices? Now, there are times along our lives that we've all screwed up. I just told you that minutes ago here. We've all done it. Trump's done it. Everybody in Congress has done it. Everybody in Hollywood has done it many times over there, because that is the city of sin out there. But, you know, and those are the righteous people who sit on their soapboxes every day yelling at Trump, you know, like the Kathy Gifford thing. I read a story about her the other day that she was in a hospital sick and blaming Trump. I don't know what the hell she's sick from. I don't know. But I remember seeing the story in the news wire and thinking, this lady is something else. And I wonder if we did an inventory in their lives, if we did an honest inventory in every one of their lives, what do you think that score would look like? Now, we probably call that bad math, right? We all fall down and we scab our knees, we bruise ourselves up, we get banged up a bit. It's all how you handle it from that moment of crisis in your life that determines winners and losers, and that determines good versus evil. It really is. We've all got scabs and scars, and we've got all kinds of scars and scabs on our bodies and in our souls, in our minds. Absolutely. But how we handle that moment of crisis is what determines the man. It's what determines that human being, that human man, that person, that soul, that existence. That's what determines it. Just like right now, there are tremendous opportunities that can come from a pandemic of any sort or whatever crisis is going to happen that I just laid out to you, a whole bunch of scenarios. And I'm an optimist, people, but I'm also a realist. And, you know, you think of all of those potential problems or anything that could happen. And like right now with the pandemic, and you think, well, what are the lessons we learn from this? How can we learn from this? And we do. It's those moments of truth in your life and those moments sometimes that you feel where it's all gone and busted. It's those weak moments of, oh, shit, I give up. I can't take anymore. Enough. I don't want any more. Stop it. Don't talk to me anymore. You're an idiot. Those are the moments we actually learn so much in life. If you've ever gone through a bankruptcy or you've gone through a house foreclosure or a repossession or a hardship of some sort, the loss of a job, a nasty divorce, a crime, a rape, or something else that's happened in your life that's so horrific. You think of the lessons learned from those moments. There's always that chance and opportunity for you that they'll make you a better person. If you put everything into context properly and you look at that moment of understanding the pain, how you got there, where you're at, and how you learn from it, and then what's the big picture in life? What's the 35,000 foot view of what you want to accomplish in life? And how do you make that happen? You know, it's said we're a product of the people we hang with. You've heard that saying before. It's important we hang with smart, optimistic, God-loving people then, if that's the case, if we are a product of that. And that's a good reminder for all of us to do an inventory in our own lives right now to see who are the kind of people we're hanging with. And what do we need to do to change things a little bit here? Now is a perfect time, friends, to look at our lives and to make the changes necessary for the battles forward. But one of the public battles we have to do right now is come together as a people as well, because we have to fight not only the evil forces, but we have to fight the political forces and the global forces within all of this pandemic of life. And we have to figure some things out really quick. Because again, those odds I tell you about, those 100-to-1 odds are serious odds. And again, it's good to have the faith. It's good to believe that God has your back always. And maybe you're not worried. And that can be good. That can be very positive. I know people of faith tell me that all the time. I'm not worried, Malcolm. God has my back. I understand what that means. But I don't think that God wants you to be ignorant either. And he also wants you to realize that he gave everybody free will. Free will. We all have free will as human beings. And it's that free will that can get us into trouble a lot. Listen, the world has always been complete of good and evil. This did not start with the Trump administration. I have news for you. It did not start with the Obama administration either, or the Bush administration. It has been a force here from the garden scene forward. It has been on the planet from day one. And so in preparation for all these things, as we're going through right now, and when you see a lot of the people, like, you know, I mentioned earlier that Business Insider article. I want to get back to that a moment here, because I'd mentioned Bill Gates to you as well, had been warning of the pandemic for years, sure. And there's a whole lot of other people that were warning of it as well. I've seen a lot of these stories. This is a brand new story on Business Insider, but it's worth a read. It's worth a look at to see what they believe some of the people are. But looking at some of these other people on this list here, by the way, there's an infectious disease expert, Michael Osterholm, who also had been warning of a global pandemic for the past decade. And this he wrote in Foreign Affairs in 2005 about the critical point in our history that we're at. Interesting. And then there's another a virologist and flu expert, Robert G. Webster, predicted an upcoming flu pandemic in a book he published in December. Interesting. Flu Hunter. Yeah. And then there's a U.S. intelligence team that also warned about the possibility of a pandemic in recent years. So this is a intelligence community's worldwide threat assessment, I guess they're called. I had mentioned about a novel strain of this microbe that is transmissible between humans and will be a big threat to humanity. And there's, again, the Massachusetts public health officials warned. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people. You know, there's another interesting email I got in the other day from a listener, and that author, I don't know if you ever read his books, Dean Kuntz, I believe it's K-O-O-N-T-Z, Dean Kuntz. And he wrote a book back in 81. And I've not read his books, but I've seen his name around. And it's called The Edge of Darkness. You probably know what I'm talking about here. What's really wild with the email that was sent in to me from a listener, they had various things circled in there, like Li Chen, the Chinese scientist, who I talked about on the virus looks like a threat. The show I just did last week with you all about China, which was an eye-opener. Li Chen, and talks about him, and then and it goes on to call it the Wuhan 400. This was back in 81, by the way. And it was developed at the RDNA labs outside of the city of Wuhan. It's just amazing when I looked at this write-up in this book with the Dean Kuntz and what he says here back in this book in 81. Prophetic, really, when you look at it right there. He predicted the pandemic in that 1981 novel. And there's a host of others as well, but the point is you see all these people predicted, but yet our politicians didn't predict, or our political leaders did not, did they? Or at least they weren't on the game. And this goes back to a lot of administrations and a lot of, and it really comes back to Congress. This is a blame for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of political leaders. But you see, we have a failed political system here in America, because all of that energy and time spent fighting with each other, it's a power struggle of, like, you know, two or three guys trying to climb up the mountain, or in this case, several hundred people trying to climb up the mountain, and they're trying to pull each one down. So they grab onto the shirt, the shirt tails there, and they pull you down on your ass, basically. And they keep, and men and women alike, doesn't matter gender. And they're climbing up the mountain, and they pull one down, and they stampede over that person, and they do another one of the same thing, and then, you know, another one of the same. And it's all these people trying to climb up, because at the top of the mountain is the, you know, you win the, you become the United States Senator, or you become the United States Congressman, you know, or you become the President of the United States, or you become whatever, you know, head of the mosquito control, right? But it's all those people clamoring. That's called an election, is what that's called, you see? And so one of the failed parts of our system is that all that energy is spent there, and it's not used for the good of humanity. It's not good for the good of Americans. It's not used for that purpose. We have a system here in this republic, which is a good one, where we elect people, and that's fine. The problem is we don't have term limits, which I talked to you about just yesterday. We need term limits. That would help some of that out, because then, you know, you're not always going to battle for the next 2, 4, 6 years, and we can get them in and out, and which is what the framers had sort of envisioned, you know, back then. The citizenry to get them involved in politics, like Trump was, for instance, he's perfect to what the framers envisioned, actually. And so that would be part of that problem. But then the other thing is, when they get into office, this constant, like, there's it's just the partisan bickering, hatred, and it's unbelievable. And it's been there. It's not just Trump. It's been there, people. It's been there, both Republicans and Democrats. I mean, Republicans hated Jimmy Carter, hated Bill Clinton, you know, and Democrats hated George Bush. It's this ideology of the vision and the version of their America that is the argument. But, you know, it depends where you fall in all that. And a lot of it depends upon how you were raised, what your grandmother thought, or, you know, what your father was. It's funny how a lot of that falls in from our family tree. Right? How does that go? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Sometimes you hope like hell it does. If your father's a real asshole, then you want it to fall from the tree and roll way down the hill. One day I'll tell you the story about my father, and let's just put it that my apple fell from the tree and it kept rolling so far, I don't even recognize where the hell the tree was anymore. But that's another story for another day, people. I'll just pique your curiosity with that a moment, huh? So we're not prepared, people, for a pandemic. And we're not prepared for the next crisis, the next cyber attack, the next, you know, major earthquake, the next electrical grid problem or catastrophe or pandemic or virus or chemical weapon or whatever, or, you know, something. We're not prepared. I'm here to tell you today, we are not prepared for what's coming next. And the reason we're not prepared is because all of the oxygen in the room and the time spent is on trying to conquer the people on the other side of the political aisle. It is all smoke and mirrors 24/7. It is all games and partisan politics that are being played. And the system is broken. And I have to believe it is broken. So, and here's a prime case because of the lack of preparation of where we find ourselves. I mean, if you badger a president for this long and this hard and this much, how can they ever have a waking moment to go and look for these inevitables that may happen? You know, the cyber attack, the potential natural catastrophe of an earthquake or an asteroid or a virus or a pandemic or a whatever, whatever. I mean, how are they going to be prepared? How are they going to spend their time effectively if they're always trying to fight lawsuits, if they're always trying to protect the borders, if they're always in court or trying to fight with various people? And that's the problem. You see, I think I've detected at this point is that. So for those people that want to blame President Trump for the preparation of this pandemic, I think my message is real simple. You need to shut the hell up. You need to go away. You need to hang your head in shame because you make no sense. You see, you cannot blame this president for this. And for those of you who do, you're not thinking with a full program here, people. I mean, come on. There's no way you can blame this president for this kind of thing. I mean, get with it. So then we talk about how will the pandemic end? You know, how will it, what's the end game of all of this and the aftermath, you know? We're doing the social distancing now. Do we just keep doing that till 2022? Some people might like that, actually. Huh? Some people might get a charge out of that social distancing thing. And, you know, we're people. We love hugs and handshakes, and we love that human touch, right? I mean, I think a lot of us do. We love people. That's a great thing about humanity is we do like each other, I think, don't we? I like you. You like me. You know, we like each other, don't we? You like your fellow man? We are a people that we like that. We like the human touch, the hug, the handshake, the embrace, the moment. There's something about a handshake. Now, right now, you're not supposed to handshake. You're supposed to keep your social, you do an elbow thing or whatever, smack the guy in the head. You can do that too. Hey, George, bang. Good to see you today. You know, maybe that's the way we'll be introducing each other in the future. Smack each other in the head. It's funny how we do a handshake. It's become our way. It's kind of been, you know, it's part of the program. You got to handshake somebody. Yeah, you know, think about it. It's kind of funny how we do these things. It's almost like you could have two people walking down the road. And if this is how our early people did it or, you know, distant ancestors. It could be like they walk down the road and they take their feet and they shake their feet at each other. Imagine how silly that would look on Fifth Avenue, you know. They're walking down the street and they take, you stop and you take your right leg and you twist it all around like that. And that's kind of a handshake. Hey, I see that, George. How you doing today? Yeah, I'm doing good. Doing good. At least we won't catch diseases and viruses and won't have to worry about, you know, maybe that's the new handshake that comes out of all this. I don't know. Or, of course, everybody likes this elbow thing now, too, you know. Or you just smack George in the head. Hey, wake up, George. Knock it off. You know, so, hey, listen. There are a lot of things and a lot of changes that will come from this. And one thing I'm certain, people, is life will not be the same. We will have to learn from all of this. And life will not be the same in the fight of good versus evil. What is our future going to look like? What do we learn from all of this, and how do we change the system? How do we get prepared for the next pandemic of life, whatever that's going to be? That's going to be earth-shattering. It's going to shatter our worlds and our life and change everything and turn it upside down, because it will happen. It's days, weeks, hours, seconds, months, summer, years. It will happen. I guarantee you. Friends, thank you for being here on The Voice of a Nation. All of our shows after talk radio go on to podcasts. You can catch them on America Out Loud Podcast Network. Do subscribe to the network on Apple and all podcasts. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and all the podcast networks worldwide. Just look for America Out Loud Podcast Network or get the links from the platform, AmericaOutLoud.com. I am appreciative that you are here today for the journey, and bring some moderates and independents with you tomorrow, will you please? Friends, it's time to get involved and get loud.